Well, good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Stephanie L., and I am a recovered compulsive overeater from Southern California. Today is Monday, June 26, 2023, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today, we are reading from the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous, and we're on page 89, the third full paragraph, beginning with, "Perhaps you are not acquainted with any drinkers," and ending with, "To be helpful is our only aim." We are reading and commenting on one paragraph only this morning. Today's readers are Lisa N., who will be reading the text, Tamara C. will be reading page 164, Shelley E. is our backup reader today. Our newcomer greeter will be Loretta M., and announcements will be Reggie O. The reference number for yesterday, Sunday special edition, which was Sunday, June 25th, 2023, is 20,383, or 20383. And today's 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 20,384, or 20384. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. I will now ask Alex K. to read the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous.
Thank you, Alex K. in California. Recovered compulsive eater just for today. The 12 steps. 1, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we try to carry this message to compulsive eaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you. Grateful to do service.
And thank you so much, Alex K. I will now ask Rhonda R. to read the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous.
Thank you for your service, Stephanie. This is Rhonda R., very grateful and recovered in Georgia. The 12 traditions. 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, film, television, and other public media of communication. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to put goals before personality. And thank you for the opportunity to do service in June.
Well, thank you so much, Rhonda R. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and the literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only, please. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book means to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, please let us know by saying pass and then press star 1 to remute your phone. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker's should be muted. So today, we resume our study of the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous, and we are on page 89. And we're on that third or last full paragraph that begins with, perhaps you are not acquainted with any drinkers, and ends with, to be helpful is our only aim. We are reading and commenting on one paragraph only today. I will now ask Lisa N. to begin reading.
Good morning, Stephanie, and thank you so much for your, it's Stephanie, right?
That's correct.
Okay, thank you so much for your service this morning. And good morning, everyone. Lisa N. recovered this morning by God's grace and mercy. Perhaps you are not acquainted with any drinkers who want to recover. You can easily find some by asking a few doctors, ministers, priests, or hospitals. They will be only too glad to assist you. Don't start out as an evangelist or reformer. Unfortunately, a lot of prejudice exists. You will be handicapped if you arouse it. Ministers and doctors are competent, and you can learn much from them if you wish. But it happens that because of your own drinking experience, you can be uniquely useful to other alcoholics. So cooperate, never criticize. To be helpful is our only aim. That really reminds me of how I used to be. When I first started the program, I did not want to hear anything. I did not want to hear what anybody said in meetings. I tuned it out. I sat there thinking my own thoughts, wishing it was looking at the clock, wishing it was time to go. So how can I start out an evangelist and expect people to listen to me and all I have to say? There has to be that level of readiness and willingness. And if they don't have it, there's really no point. So my best bet is to be friendly, useful, a good example of abstinence with food. So, I mean, there was a time that I was very heavy, but I was abstinent. So people aren't going to look at me and say, I want what she has yet. And it doesn't even mean, well, the very first person that told me about OA actually was heavy, but she was smiling and she was telling me about OA and how wonderful it was. And what she was saying was not resonating with me. It seemed strange. So I guess you have to be really ready to just be happy and joyous and free and working the 12 steps to the best of your ability to be that light. My aim is to be helpful, not to be an evangelist or reformer anymore. I just want to be helpful. So if somebody needs my help, I'm ready. I'm ready to take calls. I'm ready to make calls. And if there's a doctor, a minister, somebody, that's not been my experience where all the doctors want what I've offered them, my number, experience with the program. But that's okay too. Keep trying. It doesn't mean we don't give up. We give up. It means we keep trying to do our best and look for opportunities. Pray for God to give us opportunities. And I guess with that, I will pass. Thank you so much for letting me share today.
Well, thank you so much, Lisa Ann, for getting us started. And although we value all of your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So if you shared at any vision meeting on Thursday or Friday, please allow others the opportunity to share today. I'm going to get some names. Please give your first name, your last initial, and where you are calling from. So who would like to share on this paragraph?
Tamara C. from Missouri.
All right, Tamara, I've got you.
K.L.
Carol.
I think it was K.L.?
Correct.
Okay.
Carol Ann.
Okay, it's at Carol Ann. Would anyone else like to get in this first lineup?
Jordan L.
All right, I've got you, Jordan L. All right, so we've got Tamara C., K.L., Carol Ann, and Jordan L. So Tamara, you're up first, followed by K.L.
Good morning. This is Tamara C. I'm very grateful to be a recovered compulsive overeater, and I'm in Missouri. I had looked up the words evangelist and reformer and found evangelist seeks to convert by preaching, and the reformer tries to change or improve others. And I don't think of myself as doing a ton of preaching, but I can definitely identify with this reformer. And I can be sneaky about it. Like, I want you to perceive me as somebody who is really open and accepting and welcoming. But I have this idea that I'm supposed to fix you, or I need you to be different for me to be okay. I need to change you. And I'm very grateful that as a result of spiritual growth, I am learning to let you own your experience, and your ideas, and your choices, your behavior, your recovery. I'm learning what's not mine to be responsible for. I'm not anybody's higher power. And so why am I uniquely useful? Because I'm sick too. I have this disease. I'm an addict. So I get it. I get the compulsion, the allergy of the body, the obsession. I also really can relate to the newcomer's fears and selfishness and resentment. And I didn't see it all. I didn't know I was so full of fear and anger. But I get it. I've been there. And so I have my story and my experience. I have this disease, and I can share that I have been given the gift of being shown spiritual action that I can take to get relief from the food obsession and relief from the fear and the resentment and the self-pity. And so I can cooperate by just not trying to control like how it goes with the sponsee, but just show up and ask higher power in and just share my experience, strength, and hope. And it really helped me, this whole thing about, you know, our only aim is to be helpful. When I first started sponsoring, I reached out to other recovered sponsors and asked them for help, and they really emphasized that remember, Tamara, you don't know what role God has for you to play in this person's life, and your only aim is to be helpful. And that was really helpful to me. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you so much, Tamara C. Next up, we have KL, followed by Carolyn, and please say where you're calling from. Kay, you're up.
Hi, this is KL from Iowa. Thank you for your service and this great meeting. I've really enjoyed Vision for You so much over the years. And so one of the things I wanted to say is how grateful I am for my sponsor and this line here, uniquely useful, is really, really powerful for me, because in this world of addiction, food particularly for us, spirit, mind, emotion, and physical, I mean, doctors, priests, counselors, all of them have something to offer us that's very valuable, and certainly I have used all of that help, but there's just something about addiction, and so many of them don't understand that all the four connect. And the one thing I get from my sponsor is the whole package, they understand, and they just, I don't know, there's a knowing that I so appreciate. I don't have to explain so many things because it's just something she knows. And I, you know, as far as food plans go and all that kind of stuff, I just love her style. I can tell her only aim is to be helpful. And in my sponsoring, I try to do the same thing. I love this cooperate, never criticize. There's a lot of humility. Each of us is so unique, and our journeys are so unique. Our bodies are unique. There's a lot of uniqueness going around, but we are very much alike in the pattern and the hold that it has on us. And anyway, I just want to say I'm so grateful for all the professions, because like I said, certainly they have contributed much information, but as far as healing and the fellowship and getting out of the loneliness and the ability to cover all four fields in one person through their sharing experience and hope, I just cannot be more grateful for how this works. And that I don't, and the other thing is with professionals, you go once a week, you go maybe once a month or even once a year if it's a doctor, and it's like I would be in such bad shape if that's all I got. And so this is something that we can go to every day, twice a day here if we want. So just thank you for all of you that do service here and share. It really is helping so many people. Thanks. That's all I've got.
Well, thank you so much, KL from Iowa. Next up, we have Carol Ann, followed by Jordan L.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Carol Ann from California, and I focused on the last line. To be helpful is our only aim. Because when I first came to Vision many years ago, I didn't realize people would call me just to be helpful. They didn't tell me what to do. And I learned from listening to their stories of how I could learn, too, to be helpful. And I'm very grateful for all of the suggestions. And nobody wanted anything in return. And I've learned that that's how I can be, too. And now when someone calls, they don't have to have an excuse to call. It's just to be helpful. It's very, very encouraging and very attractive. And I want to thank everyone for that, and I pass.
Well, thank you so much, Carol Ann. Next up, we've got Jordan L. Jordan, we can't hear you. Star one.
Can you hear me now?
We can. Thanks.
Okay. Thanks. Thanks, Stephanie, for moderating for us this morning. My name is Jordan L. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Colorado and very grateful to be abstinent and on a meeting this morning. So I definitely relate to this paragraph. I live in a pretty remote rural area of Colorado. We moved here in 2019. I was about like 2 years abstinent. There are no meetings where I live, face-to-face meetings. So pretty much my whole program is worked over the phone. but I do go to great lengths to go to fellowship events down in Denver and conferences as well each year so that I get that like face-to-face in-person time with my fellow compulsive overeaters. but because of that, like I know what this paragraph is talking about. and I tried to start a meeting a couple of years ago when we first moved here. and found like a spot to have it and made some flyers and put out brochures and all kinds of stuff. And no one showed up for like 3 months. So I was like, okay, I guess this is not meant to be. And then a group, I left the flyer at the meeting place, and a group of people saw it and now want to get a meeting started, and called me up and was like, would you come and meet with us? And I was like, yeah, of course I'll come and meet with you. like this stuff really, it really works, you know? I don't have to show up and convince anyone of anything. I just need to show up and be that demonstration of recovery. And hopefully spiritual fitness too, you know, like I'm not perfect. I am not always spiritually fit. that's why I have 10, 11, and 12, right, to work in this program. but when I show up with that attitude of recovery and usefulness to others, I'm able to cooperate, first of all. I was never able to cooperate prior to working the steps. Even if I wanted to, I would self-sabotage. and it, I'll wrap up. It like changes the whole dynamic, you know, and things become possible that weren't possible before. So it's quite remarkable, and I'm very grateful for that experience. So with that, I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Jordan L. from Colorado. And if you're just joining us, I want to let you know where we are today. We're on page 89 in the chapter Working with Others, that last paragraph that begins with perhaps you're not acquainted and ends with to be helpful is our only aim. And would like to get another lineup of people who would like to share. Please give your first name, last initial, and where you're calling from. Who would like to share on this paragraph?
Jill, Y'all spoke at once. One at a time, please.
Donna B.
All right, Donna, gotcha. Donna B.
Jill T.
Jill T. Okay. Was there somebody else? I thought I heard a few voices.
Janice K.
Janice K.
Rich.
Oh, was that Rich?
Rob H.
Oh, Rob H. Sorry, Rob.
That's okay.
I thought I heard another voice in there. Is there anyone else who wants to share on this paragraph? Get in this lineup.
Liz A.
Liz A. Okay, we'll go with that. I've got Donna B, Jill T, Janice K, Rob H, Liz A. Please let us know where you are calling from, and we'll start with Donna B, followed by Jill T.
Good morning. My name is Donna B. I'm a compulsive overeater and bulimic calling from Denver, Colorado. What I like about this paragraph, what it reminds me is that I'm uniquely positioned to be helpful based entirely on my experience, not on my education, not on any advanced degrees, not on completing, you know, rigorous or expensive courses someplace, but based entirely on my own experience. So especially when I'm talking to sponsees that are contemplating sponsorship, and there's fear and hesitation, and what do I have to offer, and I'll never do it right, and I'll never do it the way you did. I like to emphasize and share that, you know, we are all uniquely positioned to be helpful where others can't be, based entirely on our own experience. And I think it's helpful to not only be cautious of prejudice, preconceived notions about spiritual concepts and a higher power, but also not to be prejudiced about our individual experiences, to have preconceived notions about what a worthwhile experience should look like, what a meaningful experience should look like, what a top leader performer experience should look like, because there's a value in every type of experience, even those that include struggling for long periods of time, being abstinent for long periods of time, having long relapses, short relapses, intermittent relapses, all of those experiences together have value. I like to think of OA as a beehive with hundreds and hundreds of different portals to get in. And there's a portal for every single person. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Well, thank you so much, Donna B. from Colorado. Next up, we have Jill T. followed by Janice K.
Yeah, good morning. This is Jill T. from Texas Central Time. Very grateful for this topic today. Some of the shares have been so comforting and affirming for me. I have, we have a woman and her five-year-old living with us temporarily while she's getting her set up on housing. And she's a compulsive overeater, and she's real open about how uncontrolled she is, and she wants always this. I always go to this. I never choose this, that type of stuff. And I can agree with her and say, oh man, I remember doing that. Oh yeah, I did that too. But that's all I can get out. She doesn't want, I've tried more and she doesn't want, she's not interested, she's not willing. And honestly, I think she's still in a lot of denial. I mean, I don't even think she hears what I say. So, yeah, so it's comforting to know that, I'm doing the right thing by setting an example. I'm not pushing anything. I don't lecture. I don't say, hey, you shouldn't do this, you should do that. And but I see a lot of less anxiety coming from me because I have let go and relinquished what I thought was my job by, you know, being a role model, et cetera. And yeah, my program is much smoother now just in these last 4 or 5 months because I am working the program and I am working with others where she is and I accept it. And I don't know. I'm just really comfortable with that. Never thought I'd get there. So thanks for listening. Keep up the good work. Thanks for being on the road with me. Love hearing all your voices. Take care.
Well, thank you so much, Jill T. from Texas. Next, we have Janice K., followed by Rob H.
Hi, this is Janice in Oregon. What strikes me about the paragraph is that evangelists and reformers are people who talk about you. You do this, you do that. People who share their experience talk about I. I remember that. I remember, boy, I used to feel so bad. This is what I did. I think that it's interesting that there are, even in the OA standard meeting format, it suggests that we confine ourselves to our own experience with the disease of compulsive eating. The solution offered by OA and our own recovery from the disease, because that's the valuable stuff. How do you deal with fear? How do you deal with anxiety? A 10th step is a good place to start. But sometimes it takes a whole lot more. So sharing experience is can be a very, very valuable thing. Experience shared at meetings is gold. And I'm always prospecting. Thank you for listening. I pass.
Thanks, Janice K. Love that, prospecting. Next up, we have Rob H., followed by Liz A.
Thank you. This is Rob H. from upstate New York, compulsive overeater. I was reading along, and that first share was great. And they've all been great to hear everybody share and thinking, like, what can I share? And it just reminds me of, you know, this idea of helpfulness. And, you know, growing up when I was a kid, you know, my father would be working on some project or whatever. He'd ask me to come help him. And, you know, as a kid, you don't know what you're doing. You don't know what's going on. And, but he would always say, that's okay. You're there for moral support. And, so I think that, you know, that can be one form of helpfulness. And also the experience, you know, like sometimes I do know how to help somebody, sometimes I don't. And when I don't, that's when the whole morale support comes in. But when I do, you know, I can share, like people have said already, you know, what I did, you know, and what I do or what I did. And, but I think they're both very important things to have. It's like, because some people don't want to hear, you know, criticism, not necessarily criticism, but some people don't want to hear, you know, they don't want to hear like what I did. They just want to sort of, I don't know, they just want to sort of be heard and just want to be listened to. And I think that's important to do as well and relate to somebody else, you know. So hopefully I can do those things today. And with that, I pass. Thanks.
Thanks so much, Rob H. from New York. And next up, we have Liz A.
Hi, this is Liz A., recovered in California. Thank you, Stephanie, and everyone who does service for this meeting. So I focused also on the last part of this paragraph. I mean, to be honest, when I started and didn't know what I was doing. Of course, all my defects came out. I wanted to control the sponsee and have them do what I said, you know, and if they didn't do it, it would be like, well, you didn't do this, you didn't do that. You know, what I realized is this never criticize, never, I no longer do that stuff. Rather, I ask, like, why weren't you able to do this? I want to seek to understand, you know, and remember that to be helpful is all, that is my whole purpose, to be helpful. And also to remember that I am not in a position of authority. I am learning as much from a sponsee as they are learning from me. They are keeping me abstinent, you know. And so one of the things I like to do whenever I can is to say the St. Francis prayer before I talk to a sponsee, so that, you know, so I can seek to comfort rather than be comforted, to understand rather than be understood. And then whatever happens is really just God's will. You know, all I can do is share my particular experience as a compulsive overeater. And if someone resonates with that and is ready, then it'll work. And if they're not ready, that's okay. You know, in the future, they may be ready. And remember that someone tried to be helpful. And so with that, I will pass. Thank you for letting me share.
Well, thank you so much, Liz A. And we can take some more names. Again, we're on page 89. If you've just joined us, bottom paragraph. And if you'd like to share, please give your first name, last initial, and where you're calling from. Who would like to share?
Lauren Grace B., New Jersey.
What's that, Lauren Grace B.? Okay.
Patricia P.
Patricia P.
Barbara A., California.
Barbara A. Let me see. How much more time do we have? We can probably get one more. Anyone else want to get in on this?
Carol G., Chicago.
All right. Carol G. from Chicago. All right, I've got Lauren Grace B., Patricia P., Barbara A., and Carol G. Lauren Grace, you are up first, followed by Patricia P.
Good morning. This is Lauren Grace B. From South Jersey, a grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater. So glad to be here this morning. And I was thinking, as people were sharing about not evangelizing or reforming, that the reason, the strength we have not to do that is because our confidence is in God and not ourselves. When we choose not to be pushy about our program, even though it really seems like someone needs it, we're choosing to say, God, I abandon this person to your care and protection, and I'm trusting that you will do what's right for them. I don't know what's best for the still suffering compulsive overeater. I know two people who are very dear to me who are abstinent with their food because they've put down their trigger foods, but they're not recovered because they're not working the program, and there's symptoms of that. You know, there's the symptoms of what we're like when we haven't gone through the steps, and it makes me sad, but they are in God's care and under His wing. They know what I'm doing. They know about vision. And on a day-by-day basis, I just need to leave them in His hands. I think that's it. Thanks so much for letting me share.
Well, thank you so much, Lauren Grace B. from New Jersey. Next up is Patricia P., and please let us know where you're calling from.
Yes, I'm Patricia P. from Barron Springs, Michigan, and I'm a grateful compulsive overeater. Recovered one day at a time. That part about wanting to be helpful to others is my aim. And not being an evangelist, but sharing my experience, strength, and hope. That's what helps give me the courage to be even asking one more day at a time. And that's all I have to say. Thank you.
Well, thank you so much, Patricia P. from Michigan. Next, we have Barbara A., followed by Carol G.
Good morning, Stephanie. Thank you for your service. This is Barbara A., Central California, Pacific Time. So grateful for this meeting this morning. Yesterday was a pretty experience, a day of experience. I went to a ballpark yesterday, and there was, of course, food everywhere. But what I really experienced because of my, you know, working the steps is that I was with people again. And I was sharing with people behind me who I didn't even know. I was joyous, happy. I was watching the game. My focus wasn't on all this food, as anyone who's ever been to a ballpark can attest to. But what did happen was there was a couple sitting next to me. And I found myself very judgmental. I don't know whether they were compulsive overeaters. They had some weight on them. But they had left all of their garbage under their chair. And here I was thinking in my head, how dare they do that, you know? And being really mad and wanting to control it, and then remembering how would that be helpful to them? It wouldn't be. I mean, I could have said something like, hey, can I take that garbage? I'm going up, you know? I could have, if I really wanted to, I could have done that. But not to turn my anger and my judgment on them. That's the program. For me, being helpful to others is acceptance of where they are, being loving and kind to them, no matter what. But I did notice that when I was judgmental, I saw something in the ballpark that instantly initiated fear. And I talked to my sponsor last night in my Step 11 about this fear that came over me. And I realized the connection of leaving that out, making judgments, trying to control people leads to this path of my character defects become very stronger with that outlet. So I think what I'm identifying with today, and thank you for your patience and listening, is that to be helpful and to others is to be kind and to accept exactly where they are in their life, not to judge, not to evangelize, not to be this person who feels like I can change them. And so today I got on the phone and I got to talk to I talked to my sponsor last night, I talked to a fellow today, and now I'm on the meeting. This is how I recover, and I'm so grateful for that. Thank you. Thank you for the ability to share, and I pass.
Thank you so much, Barbara A. And next up we have Carol G.
Hi there. Thank you so much. I have been a program a long time and had been listening to Vision, and my life got so great that all I wanted to do was have fun. And little by little, I stopped working the program, and you know what happened. So I was out there in the wilderness for a little while, and guess what? All is not lost. Something must have been going on when I was out there in the wilderness, because when I came back this time, I'm doing things I never did before. And that's why I wanted to speak today, because I am inspired. And if there's anybody on there slipping and sliding or out there, nothing's an accident. And I just started asking for help. And little by little, I got back in. It kind of reminds me, because of all of you being here, your experience, strength, and hope, and your abstinence, and your working the program are such great role models. And it reminds me of Double Dutch. Remember that jump rope game? Some of you, like, you could just jump in. Or I feel like you're all in the pool and everyone's saying, come on in, the water's fine. It's a miracle I've had back-to-back abstinence for a little while, and I feel connected. And yesterday I had a moment of feeling not connected, and I did something different than I had done before. I called people whose names I had written down who said they were going to be sponsors And I called the people that weren't my sponsor and told them that I was feeling vulnerable. And some of you probably have done that from the get-go, but I didn't. I always made my calls when I was feeling good. So this is a big milestone for me, and I just wanted to share that. At first, I was like, oh, don't talk. You haven't been abstinent that long. And then I kept feeling from the inside that nudge. And I know now when I get that nudge who it's coming from. So I just had to speak up. So maybe there is someone on the line that needs to hear this message. Anyway, thank you. God bless you all. I'm done. Thanks. I pass.
Well, thank you so much, Carol G. Glad you're back. We have time for one more, two-minuter. Who would like to close us out today?
Hi, he who hesitates, this is Ann, recovered. He who hesitates is lost.
All right, Ann, go for it, but please let us know your last initial and where you're calling
yes.
from.
Yes, Ann K. in North Carolina. Notice okay, that little line is more southern than my New York accent. I'm here, present in the county for it, abstinent, and one day at a time, but it's happened. I returned after I was able to make a loving amend to someone that it took me 2 years to make. I was injured in my lung cancer surgery, so it is a huge amend for me. Thank you. I welcome a new sponsor or two. I'll put my name at the end of the meeting. Thank you, and I pass.
Well, thank you so much, Ann Kay from North Carolina. And that brings us pretty close to the end here. So we'll go ahead and close the meeting this beautiful Monday morning with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. And Tamara C., if you could please read A Vision for You, our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Yep, this is Tamara C., recovered in Missouri. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until